Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. I just saw on the internet two things in the last 15 minutes, which both are absolutely deplorable. And I'm going to start my program by just relating what I saw to you. And then when I get into what I was going to start with my lead comments, there's going to appear to be an inconsistency here. Bear with me. San Francisco today, and this is on the internet. Somebody took a video. God bless these cell phones. San Francisco police got word that there was a man swinging sticks on the sidewalk. 14 cops showed up. The man swinging the sticks was a black man. I'd put him in his mid-40s to mid-50s. They were crutches. He had a prosthetic for a leg. He's missing one leg. And they took him down. They didn't even say, what are you doing? Why are you here? They took him down. And one cop's kneeling on his prosthetic leg while it's twisted. The guy's yelling and screaming that it hurts. I've got a sore there. You can't do that. They pull his pants down to his knees. He's laying on his stomach. His pecker's on the concrete. His ass is showing for the whole, almost the entire 11 minutes it was videoed. And another police officer is kneeling on him and has his right arm twisted behind his back and is twisting his shoulder. And you can see the guy's in absolute pain. He says, I hurt. My leg hurts. I got a sore. Ba-ba-boo. People are around. 14 police officers. And they let this happen to this black man. He could have been white. That doesn't make any difference here. He could have been white. Just so happened, there's a female reporter over there. I don't know if she was black or white, but she took out her camera and she's videoing the whole thing. They don't like it, the police officers, and they're trying to stand in front of her and tell her to get back. She says, I'm not moving. I'm not doing anything. I'm not even near that close. You had to walk up to me. I didn't walk into you. Stop hurting him, she keeps saying. Can't you see the man's in pain? Now she's telling him, do your job. This is bad policing. This is why you guys have trouble. And can you imagine, for 11 minutes they kept this guy on the ground like this? He pissed himself. Excuse the way I put it, but it happened. And that's what's going on in this country. And I don't know why. Our police departments are out of control. I continue to say, as I have been saying, the United States Justice Department has to have a separate division just to cover policemen, local policemen, investigate these things, also put into force and effect new training procedures so these things do not happen. Now, that was only one thing I saw in the last 15 minutes. Now we're someplace else. I can't recall what part of the country. It might have been Texas. I'm not sure. And the three guys rob a bank. They take three hostages. The police are in hot pursuit for 63 miles. I don't know how many cars were involved, police cars, but at some point, they got the car, it was a van with the three bad guys and the three hostages, and they surround it with police cars. So the van isn't moving, can't go anyplace, and there are 32 police officers involved. That's how many were in the police cars chasing them. And what do you think they do? They take out their guns and start putting bullets in, round after round, into the van. There's three hostages in the van. Ended up, two of the bad guys, the robbers, were killed. Two of the hostages were able to dive out of the car. A woman couldn't, and she got killed by police bullets. We're going crazy in this country. And again, we got to do something. My solution, my suggested solution, U.S. Department of Justice, you got a separate division started. You investigate the hell out of these things quickly. You prosecute where they're wrong. And you set up new training procedures, which now brings me to, and this is the amazing thing, what my lead comment tonight has to do with Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And I'm not even, I think these people are crazy. These people are part of the group of Black Lives Matter, which is sort of an inconsistency with what I just said. But anyhow, listen to the story. You have heard in recent weeks about Black Lives Matter. This is a group of primarily young blacks across the country who are concerned that their people are being shot and killed by police, black people. And so they form this group. Sounds like they're the new kids on the block. They're new on the scene, but they're not new. The organization began in 2013 after George Zimmerman was acquitted of the killing of Trayvon Martin. That same day, three young black ladies started Black Lives Matter. The organization's grown. It's grown. It's they have chapters across the country in 2 years. And also, I got to tell you something. They have conducted, Black Lives Matter have conducted 984 demonstrations worldwide. 984 demonstrations worldwide. You know, they've grown into a sort of a potent force. I think they're becoming more of a potent force. And obviously, they got to have money to be doing what they're doing. They look like what they are, a bunch of young black activists. And in a sense, they are. They're black activists. But, and this is a big but, you got to look at who's who and you got to follow the money. And what irritates the hell out of me is nobody's talking about what I am going to share with you right now. This is a full-time job on the part of these people, black, who are members of Black Lives Matter. They are really professional organizers out of Washington, D.C. and New York. They are financed primarily by George Soros. George Soros is a Democrat liberal stockman. He's the 17th richest man in the world, so saith Forbes magazine. He's worth billions, this guy. And he's different from the Republican wealthies. And I say it this way. From my perspective, wealthy Republicans donate politically for selfish interests. They're looking for an edge or a gain so they can make more money. Whereas, if you pay attention and look at this, those who are donating in large numbers for the Democrats, they're looking for social justice. There's no way that George Soros is going to make any more money than he need out of this thing, okay? They're looking for social justice, and he has all his life. So, and I see this variation more and more between Democrats and Republicans, and I'm just sharing with you it with you. Keep it in mind. Now, again, these activists, these Black Lives Matter people, are paid full-time. Ferguson, 2 weeks ago, remember the anniversary of Michael Brown's death, demonstrations, what, 3 days going into 4 days? It gave an impetus to Black Lives Matter because they were on the scene, and all of a sudden you were aware for the first time, me too, I was too, that this is an organization. Where'd they come from? And they're concerned, and they're walking around. They got their T-shirts on, Black Lives Matter, and they're talking. They're talking to the cops and everybody else, and they were involved. Well, as it turns out, how do I put this? George Soros, and this is guaranteed correct what I'm about to say to you, my friends, gave $33 million to groups who were demonstrating 2 weeks ago in Ferguson. $33 million. He has been donating that money since the first of the year. Black Lives Matter just didn't show up 2 weeks ago. They were on the ground in January in Ferguson, putting this thing together, organizing locally, okay? Isn't that amazing? And they were there with other groups. Soros didn't just support Black Lives Matter. There were several other groups like this that he supported. He kicked in a total of $33 million. And I don't think he's a bad guy, but I think these things get out of hand when you try to do good like this. They appear to be sincere. I believe these are young blacks. I believe they are sincere. I also believe they're wrong. Okay? They're simply stated, they are wrong. And here, let me give you what's happening. Bernie Sanders in Seattle a couple of weeks ago, he's on stage at a rally. Now, this man is so far to the left, he's considered a socialist. He has been for everything for the poor. He's been for civil rights his entire political career. No one can argue with Bernie Sanders on this issue. What did they do? A group of Black Lives Matter showed up. They stormed. That's how it's described. They stormed the stage. They took the mic away from Sanders. Sanders walked off the stage, and they took over the show because they wanted their issues discussed. And it's interesting. You know, if someone says to them, all lives matter, they say no. If you say white lives matter, they say no. Black lives matter. That's their pitch, just black lives matter. Okay, so here we are, Bernie Sanders. Nobody should bother him. They bother him. Very understandable. They also bothered Sanders a week or two before, and O'Malley, who is running for president also, and I forget where they were. But in any event, he had a prelude there. But Seattle was bad. Now, you have to understand something. Hillary Clinton, a primary supporter, one of her biggest supporters is George Soros. He's already given money to two super PACs of $1 million each. He's expected to give much more money to her during the course of the campaign. This man's going to probably throw in $1 billion, not just to her, but to the whole campaign in one way or another for all candidates. But there's no question he is a big supporter of Hillary Clinton. Note that in the last couple of weeks, Sanders has been moving up in the polls. I mean, from being 40 points behind, he's like 10 points behind. And just this past weekend, he went ahead of Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire. And I just got this feeling in my gut, okay, that these Black Lives Matter people showed up at the Seattle Sanders rally because they had to put the screws to Bernie Sanders. He's catching up with Hillary. Hillary is Soros' client. Now, excuse me, I'm not saying George Soros knew about this or he did it intentionally. This guy's too big for that. I just think these young Black kids got out of hand and said, hey, we better do something here. That's my perception of it. I don't know if I'm correct. And they said, ha-ha, we're going to go and grab Bernie Sanders in Seattle. We're going to take over that stage. And they did. Okay. Now, here we go. What am I going to say? This is so shocking. After Sanders was off the stage, the media talked to the group of Black Lives Matter in Seattle and said, hey, you're not going after any Republicans. You're not going after any other Democrats. Why aren't you going after other people? Why Bernie Sanders? Of all the people running for president on both sides, he is the person who's most on your side. Okay, why? And they said, we're going to get to everyone in due course our way. They're very porky, this group, okay? Well, I'm going to tell you this. They did meet with Hillary. Hillary was in Keene, New Hampshire a few days ago. And this is screwy, too. Hillary's people became aware that a group from Black Lives Matter out of the Boston chapter were on their way to Keene, New Hampshire, and they were going to take the stage as they did with Bernie Sanders in Seattle. The Secret Service is there. The Secret Service is always there because she is entitled to Secret Service protection. She's the wife of a former president. And you know what they did? They locked the doors before these young Blacks showed up. Clinton people locked the doors to the rally, and the excuse came out afterwards that it was at the recommendation of the Secret Service because it was over capacity, too many people in there. Now, I'm 80 years old. I have never seen a political function, a political rally, where you could not take in another 100 people. You want them standing on top of each other, upside down, in the rows, wherever. It looks good, and that's what a rally's about. You got to show that you got everyone following you. They locked the doors. But they set up an overflow room. Now, when these people showed up from Boston, Hillary had not spoken yet. Preliminary speakers were in. And these people wanted to go in, but the door was locked. And they were told you have to use the overflow room. And between them, and I don't know how many of them, Black Lives Matter people there were, and a few other people who couldn't get in. The total in that overflow room was less than 20. Can you believe they couldn't fit another 20 people in? It was an excuse not to let them in, which I think is wrong, even though I'm against what they did. Now, afterwards there was a show. Hillary Clinton agreed to meet with them privately, and they did. In this overflow room, and they said, these young Blacks, they know what they want. We don't want any reporters, no pictures. Yet they videoed the entire 15 minutes of questions and answers. They're running the show. They can't run their asses. You got to watch them. I watched the 15-minute interview of Hillary. Once you watch that, you know, these kids may mean well, but they ain't got it yet. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They talk in long sentences. You can't follow the questions. They're impressed with their own self-importance. And I just don't think the right way to do anything is to attack a stage, storm a stage, stop a speaker from speaking. You want to do it, you do it like a Julian Bond or a Martin Luther King did it. They protested. They had their own rallies. They spoke at their own rallies. They walked. They marched. I am not aware of one instance, and I lived through all this in the 60s. I am not aware of one instance where they attacked the stage and wouldn't make the speaker speak, a white man, okay? They show no disrespect. I'm sorry, no respect, rather. They interrupt. They take a mic and storm the stage. It's not the way they do it. It should be done. I look to them as bullies in the pulpit. And I want to tell you, this is offensive what I'm going to say, but all I could think of when I watched the interview with Hillary, and I've heard them on TV, been interviewed the past week, because they're big-time stars right now. They're getting their 15 minutes. They're young snots. They're right in their cause. They're handling it the wrong way. Think back to Watergate. I lived through Watergate. Remember Dirty Tricks, Donald Segretti? He went to jail because he was performing dirty tricks on behalf of the committee to reelect Nixon president. This is during Watergate. And soon afterwards, our Congress passed federal laws saying you can't do dirty tricks during a campaign. Now, does what they're doing constitute dirty tricks? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. I'm not sure. But somebody has to do this legally and properly. You can't permit people to storm a stage and take a microphone away from the person speaking. There should be an investigation of this group and these things. Remember, what they're doing is not free speech. What they're doing is preventing another person from exercising his right to free speech. Cool, huh? All right, now we're going to move on. But we're staying with Ferguson. I told you there were many groups that have been there since the first of the year getting ready for this demonstration 2 weeks ago in Ferguson. One of the groups is Oath Keepers. I spoke about them at length last week, Oath Keepers. Oath, O-A-T-H. They are a group of citizens. They are militants. The police refer to them as vigilantes. They are current and former U.S. military and law enforcement personnel. They were at Ferguson for those 2 or 3 days, wearing fatigues and carrying assault weapons. I want you to understand that every member of Oath Keepers is white. Okay? No blacks. So we put everything in perspective. What bothers me, at Ferguson, the police did not confront these men walking around with guns looking like they're in the army. And the reason, apparently, is from what I can understand, they called upstairs, whether it's the chief, the county attorney, a judge or what, and said, what do we do? And nobody knew what to do. So this militant group, they were standing on the rooftops with their guns, protecting the public, they said. These people don't believe in the law. They think our greatest danger in this country is not terrorists, it's the federal government. And at Ferguson, during the demonstrations, these guys in their soldier uniforms with their assault weapons are walking around shouting, we are at war. We are at war. Now, they're financed by somebody, some outsiders. They've got money. Was it George Soros? I don't know. I would be upset if I thought he did support this, but he may have. He's got $33 million in there. He just gives it to the organizations. He does not mini-manage them. Then he leaves them up to themselves to pursue their liberal way, their liberal cause. I couldn't find anything about Soros contributing money. I don't know who finances these guys, but they're another bunch of nuts that have to be observed. We are losing our country. We are losing our country to radicals. This is not the way to get things straightened out. Which now brings me to the Clintons. Isn't this fun? It brings me to, I love this. What I'm going to tell you now is shocking. I think it's shocking. It's not bad shocking, but it says something bad about the Clintons, I think. And I So far, I'm a Hillary supporter, yet I haven't given up in spite of everything. I say the poor Clintons. Poor meaning money. You recall, she got chastised last year. She says, we came out of the White House poor. My God, within 2 years, they were multimillionaires from the exorbitant fees, $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 for speaking fees. Big money. Anyhow, they want to take a vacation in the Hamptons, rich exclusive area on Long Island. And they have rented a house on the Hamptons for the last 2 weeks of August. Price tags for 2 weeks, magnificent looking house, $100,000. $100,000 for a house, 2 weeks rental on a great seashore, in a great seashore area. Okay, don't ever let me hear from your lips, you're broke. I don't want to hear it from Hillary again. But let me say something, and this is what bothers me. I bet Hillary gets to write this off, and here's why, and this is wrong. It's right, but it's wrong. She has scheduled several fundraisers while she's on vacation. You have to understand, many rich live in the Hamptons. Their summer homes are there. And the affairs are already scheduled. Some days breakfast, lunch, and dinner, not every day. And they're generally at someone else's home. But she has to have a place to stay and so forth. Make a long story short, I have to believe that $100,000 is going to come out of the money that's already been contributed to her for her campaign. We know she's already raised $47.5 million just in direct contributions. I don't know what her PAC numbers are yet. They're not significant compared to certain other candidates. And they'll probably be able to write it off. I wish I could rent a $100,000 house for 2 weeks, my God, and then not really have to take it out of my cash flow, let another set of money pay for it, because it will be considered a business expense. Now, we're going to move on to something called transgenders. We all know what transgenders are now. It's boys who are girls and girls who are boys, and they want to get out of their present bodies and get into their new bodies so they can live the way they should. All right? I'm getting screwed up in my old age. I got to say it this way. Seen a lot, experienced a lot. I never thought we'd have gay marriage. I never thought gays would be permitted to adopt. We have it all today. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have believed this was going to happen, but it's happened in this country. And it's right. I've been here in Key West so many years. I believe we are one human family. I have seen more love and affection between two men and two women than by a heterosexual couple. But now the gays are out of the way. The new issue automatically, immediately became transgenders. And it confuses me. I got to be honest. It confuses me because after we resolve the transgender problem, what comes next? I don't know. There's going to be something else that's going to be weird. I can see it coming. And it's the only way I can put it. I knew this was an important issue last year when in California, Governor Brown signed legislation that in all public grammar schools, high schools, and colleges, a transgender person would be permitted to use the bathroom of choice, boys' room or girls' room. So if you had a boy, you had a person dressed in boys' clothes, but mentally he's a girl, he could go to the ladies' room with your children and use the facility and vice versa. Now, so that meant there's a problem. I've done some reading on this a year ago and recently. We've got 3% of our population, I am told, and that's a substantial number, are transgender. The latest problem now comes up, or situation, with our military. We have an estimated 12,800 transgenders in our military forces. Now, they're not supposed to be there. It's like the gays. Keep your mouth shut. We won't say anything. The past week, the Defense Department said, the United States Defense Department, that next year, they're going to be A-OK. Transgenders are being accepted. They can openly be known as transgenders. And so a study is being done also now by the Defense Department because they have to get their dollars in order. How much is this whole thing going to cost us? And they're looking at the military aspect. Well, you got 12,800 transgenders. First of all, they're estimating the hormone therapy and surgery. Well, if they need it, they need it. If they need hormone shots, they need it. if they need the surgery for a man to become a woman or a woman to become a man, they're going to receive it. And it's estimated that it's only going to cost $5.6 million for an increase in the military budget just to take care of these surgeries, all right? Because only a small amount will require it. And after all, the military medical budget is $48 billion. What's $5.6 million? And they further estimate out of the 12,800, only 188 will need the medical help, the surgery to go from one sex to the other. I want to tell you something. I'm sure those numbers are out of whack, but what really bothers me is the use of tax dollars now. Go into the service and get your sex change operation. We can't feed the children in this country. We have so many homeless children. We can't give them breakfast anymore. We want to cut Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. And I and you now have to pay for their surgeries. I don't think it's right. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have their surgery, but let's not do it this way. We have our heads screwed on wrong. I'm going to go to Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, did a great job with Planned Parenthood in this respect. I think what's happening in the abortion situation right now with fetal cells and body parts being sold is absolutely, totally wrong and has to stop. But, you know, women for years have gone to Planned Parenthood for other problems. Their period isn't right. They want to practice birth control, help me. And so Planned Parenthood serves a very good purpose in that regard. Now, Dr. Ben Carson, who's running for the presidential nomination on the Republican side, I think he's running second or third, depending on the poll, he said she believed in eugenics. And I'm aware of that. She did. She believed in selective breeding. You must take the smartest and the healthiest and have them have sex with each other and have babies. And those people who are mentally screwed up or physically disabled, we got to push them to the side. We don't want any children by them. Adolf Hitler did this in the 1930s, okay? Now, what people don't know, and this isn't what Carson got into, but I wrote about this about 6 months ago. She was anti-black. She spoke and attended Ku Klux Klan meetings. She was also an open anti-Semite. Let's get it all out on the table. I'm not blaspheming her. She has done good things, but let's not make the God out of her. She was not. She had feelings and opinions that were not healthy and were contrary to what I think is the American way. It's the only way I can put it. Instead of idolizing her, let's know everything about her before we do something like that. Well, I got to shortcut my show tonight because I started with those two situations of police activity in the last 24 hours. I thank you for joining me this evening. I know that not all of you agree with me, but that's all right. I'm just trying to, you know, initiate some additional thinking along the way on these various issues. I'm trying to get the facts out that we don't get from the media, which is another story. Anyhow, this show is archived on Black Talk Radio and on YouTube immediately. My website, Key West Lou, will have it linked tomorrow morning, and you can hear it there whenever you want. I thank you for joining me this week. I hope you enjoy the show. I absolutely love doing the show, and I look forward to being with you again next week.